Blessed art thou, O Lord, the God of our fathers, and worthy to be praised and glorified and exalted above all forever. And blessed is the name, as the holy name of thy glory, and worthy to be praised and exalted above all in all ages. Blessed art thou in the holy temple of thy glory, and exceedingly to be praised and exceeding glorious forever. Blessed art thou on the throne of thy kingdom, and exceedingly to be praised and exalted above all forever. Blessed art thou that beholdest the depth and sitteth upon cherubims and worthy to be praised and exalted above all forever. Blessed art thou in the firmament of heaven and worthy of praise and glorious forever.
Thank you.
shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The only creed affirmed by Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, Anglican, and most Protestant churches. Churches throughout the centuries have recited it as a confession of faith during baptism and the Eucharist. While the Nicene Creed itself is not in the Bible, it summarizes biblical truths. Many churches will recite the creed in weekly services today, reminding congregations about the foundation of their faith, as well as how the faith in Jesus unites the global church. Using the creed is still useful today because the heresy it was first designed to fight still exists in the church. A statement was added to the creed at the Council of Toledo in 489 AD. It's called the Filioque Statement, and it reads, quote unquote, "and the Son."
Thank you.
Would you please be seated? So, sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug. No. That's right. So, it's okay.
There you go. There you go.
Amen. Amen.
Very good. Very good.
All right, folks, if you would, we're going to say the Nicene Creed now. Do we want to stand?
No, that's okay.
So, read with me, brothers and sisters. We believe in one God, Father the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in our Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God from God, light from light, true God not made, being one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man and crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. On the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and now one holy Catholic and apostolic church. He acknowledged one baptism for the remission of sins, and we look for the resurrection from the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The reason why I put the creed in, and we have to be careful in that the creeds were done by men of faith to try to express better some of the difficult concepts that the Bible lays forth. The Trinity, for one, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Some of the mysteries of the faith about salvation being by faith alone. And they're well thought out. But in the creeds also, the early church fathers wanted to let the church know clearly, both from the scriptures and then reinforce it with the creed, what the marks of a church are. And I'll explain that in a second. So I just want to let you know, the first time I did this in a church many years ago, my first church, it was a Baptist church, and people got very offended. Well, too bad. And it reminded them of the Roman Catholic Church. And that, listen, the Roman Catholic Church uses a decree. There's nothing wrong with that. But when they confronted me at the end of the service and said to me, you know, why are we doing this? You know, it's too Catholic. Especially since it says one Catholic church. And I said, we used hymnals back then. Remember hymnals? We had a Baptist hymnal. I said, take your hymnal, look in the back, and tell me what's there. It was the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Chalcedonian Creed. And I said, so what do you have to say to that? Well, the hymnal could be wrong. I said, I don't think so. You know, I mean, these are good creeds we have to wrestle with. So just in case there's any doubt, and we're going to explain the marks of the church so you really understand what Catholicity is all about and some of the phrases that are used. Just a couple of announcements before we go to prayer. We're getting ready to take a batch of stuff over to the community closet at Lacey High School. So you guys have been great. We get thank you letters from them almost every month. As fast as we supply the personal hygiene goods and the socks and the the clothes. It goes. So thank you for doing that. We'll be gearing up again for the summer lunches soon. And Janine, I know is getting some information about that. And that is for the free lunches for the kids who would normally not have a lunch during the summertime. Okay. And then, believe it or not, we're gearing up for Lacey Day. And that's not until September. So those are some of the things that are coming out. I urge you to come to prayer meeting 10 o'clock Tuesday if you're able to make it. Prayer meeting was so powerful on Tuesday, it set the world on fire. I had to do it. We had a good group here Tuesday, so I urge you to come to prayer meeting. And then men's group, we always have a good group for that. Men. Now, I want to be clear about this. Anything that we do, whether it's prayer meeting, whether it's Bible study, or whatever we do it so people have the opportunity to grow, and to grow in their faith, to grow not only in their faith, but to let God change them from the inside out, not from the outside in. That never works. But from the inside out, as we learn his precious promises, and we submit ourselves to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. So, make time for some of these things. They're important. And people will say to me, "Oh, Pastor, you don't know my schedule." Yeah, let's compare. Let's compare. I did 10 services last week. So you hook that up with the prep time and all of that. I'll compare schedules any day. God is good. I want to pray, give thanks to the Lord for the first responders and the great job that they did. And I want to pray for the American church. The American church is in trouble, especially here in the Northeast. In the Bible Belt, they're still all right, although I'm getting statistics that even down there, attendance is declining almost on a weekly basis. We forgot what it is to be the church. That's why I believe the Spirit led me to do this series with you right after Easter. Because does anybody know what happened 40 days after Easter? Yeah, Christ was taken up, right? Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, showed up on the scene, right? And Peter just preached this dynamic message, and I think it was 3,000 or 5,000 people, Acts chapter 2, came to Christ. And that kept going. The church was born. And Paul, Peter, and the other apostles just really labored to not only birth the church, well, God births it through his Holy Spirit, right? But then to nurture it along and help them grow in the fear and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's called discipleship. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. I'm going to ask those helping with the offering if you would come forward. And just before we go through this, the prayer, I want to thank people. There's been a lot of people in here. Some aren't here today, but a lot of people in here who checked up on other people in the congregation. And I'm eternally grateful for that. Yeah.
Midnight.
Yeah.
We do drive-bys all the time.
I got a call from Tommy. He did a drive-by by my house. And then he went to check on my sister-in-law. And he says, "Pastor, good news, your house is still there." I said, "Okay, that's fine." But, a lot of you checked on each other behind the scenes. And thank you. Thank you for that. Let's pray. Father, how gracious you are to us. How wonderful you are. We want to lift up the first responders to you and their families. They've made sacrifices, many hours, much hard work. And Father, their efforts kept this from getting much worse. Thank God there was no loss of life. Thank God there was no loss of property. But Father, let us never take for granted those who serve, those who put their lives on the line to protect us. the police, the fire, the EMS, all the first responders. We lift them up before you and just ask you to bless them in a special way. Thank you for churches who have responded and people looking after people. This is how the church needs to work, Father. We thank you for that. And Father, I want to pray for the church in North America. Somehow would you wake us up? We need revival. We need a move of your Holy Spirit, Father, in the church to wake us up, to fuel our hearts so we hunger for the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, so we have a deepening burden for the lost, for those who need to hear the gospel, that we have a deepening burden to see the kingdom of God spread in our area, that you give us an incredible desire for the word, to drink it up, to eat it, to meditate on it, to digest it, and let it become part of us so it can change us from the inside out. And Father, we give to the work of the kingdom. We pray, Father, that you bless both the gift and the giver. And Father, we will give you all the glory. Help us to be good stewards of what you provide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our main text today is going to be 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, but I put in a verse or two verses before that from the Acts chapter 2. I have them up here if you don't have your Bible today. And I'm trying to do this as methodically as possible so we can kind of build on God's design for his church. Now, I mentioned before that 40 days after the resurrection, Pentecost happened. And Peter gave that great sermon. Many people came to know the Lord. The church was born. And I want to point this out to you from Acts 2, verse 42 and 43, which is the end of that passage that describes the birth of the church. It says, they, meaning the people who came to know the Lord, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Well, that's the scriptures, right? But that word devoted shouldn't be overlooked. It wasn't that they read it for 10 minutes or they heard it. It was they really wanted to wrestle with it, learn from it, and just put it into practice with the help of the Holy Spirit. So they devoted themselves first to the scriptures, the reading of the scriptures. Second, to fellowship. That's what we do here, right? We fellowship and worship. We fellowship sometimes when we have our dinners or our soup nights, or you know, we come in, we look at the one of the episodes of The Chosen. That's part of fellowship, but fellowship also is taking part in ministry. Lacey Day, the food pantry, the delivery of the lunches, those are all opportunities for fellowship. At least I mentioned the men's group. Oh, okay, that's all right. That's all right. And then they developed themselves to the breaking of bread. That wasn't just dinner. That was the Lord's Supper. The breaking of bread. One of the ordinances, if you will, that Jesus established to the church is to say, remember the Lord's table and what it symbolized. And he says, do it often in remembrance of him. Right? And to prayer. I believe one of the reasons why the American church is in such trouble today is because we've neglected all four of these, particularly prayer. I just recommended Jim Cymbala's book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, Jim Cimbala, the pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle. I think he's right on the mark in that book where he talks about the necessity of prayer. Not only the necessity of prayer, but the necessity of yielding to the Spirit of God, letting the Spirit of God move in the church, in and through us, as we're obedient to the Word. And look at this, the next verse. It says, everyone was filled with awe at many wonders and signs and signs performed by the apostle. If we really devoted ourselves to these things as a church, people would be here instead of soccer fields on a Sunday morning. People would be here instead of catching up on their sleep on Sunday mornings. Everyone was filled with awe. You can't come before God without being filled with awe. Well, Pastor, how does that happen? Well, listen. Too many people view a worship service as a spiritual injection. It's not. I hope you get something out of it, but it's not a spiritual injection. Well, why do you say that, Pastor? Simple. Because we come to worship God. God is the centerpiece. Jesus Christ is present with us. And when we come to worship, we ascribe to him his worth. That's what worship is, right? You alone are holy. You alone are awesome, wonderful. Those are the things we do when we come to worship. We sit under the ministry of the word, but that needs to continue on Monday. Because on Monday, we all need to be in the word of God, praying, seeing what the word of God has for us, asking the Holy Spirit to help us to live it out. And do that each day. At the end of each day, reflecting, and this is where I think we take too much for granted. At the end of each day, reflecting how God got us through the day. I don't care how good or bad it was. It's still God that gets us through, right? Reflecting. Keep a journal if that's your practice. But we need to reflect on the day. It could be the most miserable day in the world. It was not a vacation having to evacuate. But God got us through. He got us through. That has to happen Monday through Saturday. And then Sunday should be the celebration of people coming together saying, our God is awesome. I saw his hand in my life this week. I saw his hand when I went to the hospital to visit so-and-so. I saw his hand when I reached out to my neighbor. I saw his hand when I did this. And you come and you celebrate. Worship is supposed to be a celebration of what God has done. We're not to be the frozen chosen. All right? Too many times that's the way we come off, as the frozen chosen. I wonder, you know, these are the questions you can't ask during a worship service, right? How many of you are thinking of lunch? How many thinking, you know, how many of you are thinking about the fight you had with somebody before you came up? How many of you think of this and that? Listen, this should be a time where we just clear our minds and focus on Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. So this sets kind of the table for where we're going. Over the years, I've been doing this 36, 37 years, right? I've been doing it for so long. People are so quick with their opinions about what a church should be. If you take 10 people, put them in a room, and ask for their opinions of what a church should be, I get 12 opinions. Most of them are wrong, biblically. Most of them are wrong. So before we get into 1 Thessalonians, here's what I want to do. I am a very big student of church history. I think everybody should not only be a student of the Bible, but actually have a course in church history, because we see how the church wrestled with these things over the years. And I'm naming this what a classic church looks like, and you'll see why in a minute. In a classic church, this comes from the scriptures, by the way, and also from some of the work of Martin Luther, in the Reformation, okay? In a classic church, the Bible is the final authority. You know what I mean by that? What the Bible says, when it's interpreted correctly, is true and is our guide and rule for living as we live it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Second is tradition. Every church has traditions, right? We have some, right? We do our soup nights. We do potlucks. We all have our traditions. But if we put traditions above the Bible, we're going to be in trouble, okay? Some churches do that, by the way. And third is trends. There are churches who cater to the latest trends, and they put that above the Bible, and that's wrong. So the classic church, the Bible is the final authority. Tradition is subordinate to that, and trends. In other words, anything we do has to be measured against the Word of God to see if it's biblical, right? In a traditional church, tradition is first. The Bible is second. And trends are third. That's a bad combination, right? Because traditions are man-made, you know, man-made laws, man-made traditions. They have the authority even above the Bible. And that's not a good situation. That makes for a bad church, if I can put it that way. And there's a third one. There's the trendy church. The latest trends are first. The Bible is second or third. And then traditions. That's a dangerous scenario also. Trends come in many ways. You know, it can happen with music. It can happen with the way we dress. It can happen in the expressions of worship. But when trends are made the final authority over the Bible, we're going in the wrong direction. And you see examples of this. You can relate these, by the way. If you ever want to do a good study to the seven churches in Revelation, the letters to the seven churches in Revelation, the ones that received the accommodations of Christ in those letters were the ones where the Bible was the final authority. And Jesus was the first love. Right? Does this make sense? Okay? All right. So, let's start Thessalonians. And I don't know how far we get today, but I'll take you as far as we can. I'm going to start with the first verse. Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Paul's the principal writer here, but he had his posse with him, if I could put it that way. Silas and Timothy, both good men, served Paul very well. And I think this was written during his second missionary journey. To the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We skip over this. This is a traditional greeting that was a format back in Paul's day. But Paul doesn't put anything down here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that has no meaning. There's a lot of meaning here, okay? First of all, the church has two homes. Let me repeat that. The church has two homes. Well, Pastor, what do you mean? This says to the church of the Thessalonians. So the church is located where? In Thessalonica. That's the earthly home. But then it has a heavenly home that's anchored where? In God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That is so important. We often talk about the incarnation of Jesus, Christmas, right? Jesus was born into a particular time and a particular place for a particular reason. And he was born into the Jewish nation, Israel, right? And he became incarnate, that is, he lived among the people as a Jew. We, the church, need to be incarnate in our community so that Jesus Christ lives among the community. This is why I get so upset when people don't come to church or a church closes, because when a church closes, you're taking away the witness of Christ in a neighborhood. You're taking it away. And that's not what we're called to do. We are a church of Forked River. Blew my mind when I moved down here from North Jersey many years ago. I couldn't figure out why towns had four names to them, right? I lived in a town up in North Jersey that was 1 mile square. And I come down here and see how big some of these towns are, and I say I would have been through four towns up in Bergen County already. But God put us here for a reason. This didn't just happen. I didn't even want to do it, okay? Many of you know that. But this didn't just happen, and this is where we get in trouble, because we forget that God had a hand in this, okay? God put us here for a reason, to become incarnate, because he wanted the people in this area, in the shopping center, to know that Jesus is here, that he's here. He's incarnate in his church and through his people. Now listen, another reason why churches get in trouble is because they hire a pastor, they pay the pastor, right? When they pay the pastor, they expect the pastor to go out on the hospital visitations or visiting the sick or the shut-ins. Listen, we do that, okay? But the same Christ that lives in me lives in you. If you're a born-again believer, the same Christ that lives in me lives in you. So if I can't make it up to see somebody in the hospital and you show up, guess who shows up? Jesus. Jesus shows up. That's the way it ought to be. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to send you a helper, the Holy Spirit. And you're going to do things even greater than I was able to do. For those of you who still work, you bring Jesus into the workplace. For those of you who have a family, you bring Jesus into the family. Now, I don't care that the culture and the church looks at Sunday as just another day sometimes. But Sunday's so important because people need to see the people of God meet in a church and worship them. And I'll tell you why that's so important. Years ago, we had a young man who was in Sunday school. He's about this tall at the time. And he got violent with his teacher, started kicking and punching her. And of course, I got called in as the referee, and I got him off, sat him down, and called for his mother to come in. And the mother came in. We told the mother what happened, and this child really hurt the teacher. And the mother says, well, what do you have to say to yourself? And the first words out of the child's mouth was this. I'll never forget it. My father doesn't come here. Why should I? That says a lot. That says a lot. And so, we are the church of Forked River. That's our address. But we also have an address in heaven, because we're in God the Father, and we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because from there comes grace. What's grace? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What a gift. And that brings peace. The peace of knowing that the war between us and God is over. Not because of anything I did, but because of what Jesus did on the cross. He went in my place and paid my penalty in full that I deserve, so that me and the Father are okay. Not only that, so that I can worship the Father freely. Because you remember, we just came through the Easter season on that Good Friday when Jesus says, "It is finished." The curtain in the temple was rent in two, top to bottom, showing us that we no longer need a priest to intercede for us. That we can go through Christ. When we trust Christ as our personal Lord and Savior by faith alone, the language in Romans really reads this way, that Christ then will usher us into the presence of the Father. I can't think of a better usher. And he stands before the Father, he shows his hands, and he says, "This is Lou, I died for him. I died for him. He's mine, and he's yours." I think we missed this. We missed this. Before we move on, and I'm going to probably close with this part today. You say, "Well, Pastor, you mean you're only doing one verse?" Yeah, I'm only doing one verse today. We'll pick it up next week. But this kind of builds on each other. I want to give you the four marks of a biblical church, okay? And this is nothing original with me. This comes from years of studying the scriptures and the early church fathers, some good theologies that have been written over the years about what the church is and what to be, okay? Here are the marks. The first mark is unity. And that is our unity that we have in Christ. Catch that? In Christ. And subsequently, the moment a believer trusts Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So we're united not only in Christ, but in the Spirit. True? That makes you my brothers and sisters. That makes us brothers and sisters. And we're united not because we're an Elks Club or a Moose Club. That just sounds funny to me. But, and they do good work. I don't mean to belittle them. But God called us out. You'll see this next week. To be a church. Ecclesia is the word. To be called out of this world to worship and serve him, right? We're united. That doesn't mean we're all the same. Thank God there's not a whole bunch of me's running around, right? We're different yet united, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? The second mark is holiness. We don't like to talk about this one. You know why? Because that requires us being honest with ourselves. If you ever want to check holiness, go back to Exodus 20 and the Ten Commandments. I know when I do that, I don't get very far before I say, "Oops, I'm not real holy." But that was the whole purpose. Our holiness is in Christ. The moment that you and I trust Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, he took on our sin and gave to us, to our account, his holiness. But that should start the process of discipleship. Remember that. Discipleship then is growing and learning more about what it is to follow Christ and let Christ change us from the inside out each and every day so that you and I become a little bit more like Christ. That's sanctification. Unity, holiness, apostolic. That's the third mark. What does that mean? It's what we read before. We're devoted to the scriptures as our final authority. When interpreted rightly. It's not me. It's not tradition. It's not the trends. And then last, Catholicity. Don't get nervous, please. I was raised Roman Catholic. I had no idea what it meant until I went to seminary. Right? Catholicity just means this, that we are dedicated to bring the whole gospel to the whole world. That's what it means. Universal. This is exactly what it means. We are called to be Catholic. Not part of the Catholic Church, but Catholic in our view of sending missionaries, obeying the Great Commission. Go into your world and make disciples, teaching them all that Jesus has taught you and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's our commission. That's Catholicity. And we're to start where? In Jerusalem, right where we're planted. And then from there, go outwards until the gospel reaches the whole world. Catholicity. Did that make your brain hurt at all? Okay. Are we okay to stop it there and to look next week at how this develops? All right. If you want to do a good study, I'll give you some homework. Look up, if you have a good concordance, you know what a concordance is, right? If you have a good concordance, look up church and see what it means. You and I are not here by accident. We are only here because God called us out. And that's no accident. So I'll leave it with that. How's that? So I want to thank you for being the church today and coming and worship. And thank you to our guest. I'm glad you're here. Sure. Amen. Cindy, I responded to your email. You got it. Somebody else responded to me and said, you have the wrong email address. Isn't that something? So, you did get my response? Okay. Well, good. Another pastor, yeah. Yeah. So, no, that's fine. I mean, listen. What I think happened, because our internet service was interrupted with the fire, I think it got crossed. That's what I think happened. Okay, all right. But okay. There you go. I'm Italian, so I know. We got. Well, Carmen's here. She's Puerto Rican, and right there. So, God is good. Thank you for coming. Okay. All right. Do me a favor. Did you get a visitor's pack? All right. Leave information about how we can get in touch with you and phone number, you know, that type of thing. All right? And then we'll see what happens. All right, Chip and Melissa, we're going to close with a song that I think is very appropriate, and it's called Cornerstone. Yeah. Jesus is the cornerstone. He's the cornerstone. And that's his rightful position, because without him, everything crumbles. Everything crumbles. How good is our God?
So good.
Awesome. Awesome. Let's pray. Father, would you send us from this place encouraged through your word and through your Holy Spirit? Would you send us to know that because Jesus lives, as we sang last week, we can face whatever tomorrow brings. Father, we thank you for providing this place so that we can worship you. Keep everybody safe, Father. We pray that the fires don't come back. And we just ask, Father, you continue to watch over the first responders. Lord, help us to be pleasing to you in all we do this coming week. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Hey, not bad. Have a great lunch.